now that your Manic Monday is behind you, we can go full steam through the rest of the week into a Tuesday. Wednesday is the hump day. Of course, we have our hump show that ushers in your Wednesday. Then we get closer and closer to what's coming up this weekend, the full weekend of the Olympic Games, first full weekend of the Olympic Games. And I know there are some events that start even before the opening ceremonies, but those are set for Friday night. And I'm kind of wondering, actually, how many people will be interested in the opening ceremonies, considering it's Paris, and I can imagine they're going to deliver quite the spectacle. The backdrop itself with some of the landmarks there in Paris. And yet, if you were listening last week, I had shared some stats with you in which, this is according to Bloomberg, it was revealed that the vast majority of fans who will be attending events in Paris are Frenchmen and French women, so not international travelers. The majority of fans are not going to come from across the pond here in the United States. We certainly will have family and friends there who want to see their athletes compete. But according to companies here in the United States, ticket sales, ticket packages, travel packages to these Olympics are way down. In one case, a company reported 80% below their projections based on previous Olympics. So I don't know why exactly, only that this was not a popular destination for Americans to go and watch the Olympics, which means many more of you will be watching on TV. If you're interested, you're going to have to catch them on the tube or on your laptops, your desktops, your devices, your phones. We know that these days, especially when it comes to the Olympics, you'll have, oh gosh, a half dozen outlets that will be providing events coverage. Peacock, NBC Sports, big NBC, certainly during primetime. I think USA is also part of that as well. So we'll have the ability to cover live events and to follow live events while we are here because of the time change. I love it. It's going to take place during our next 2 weeks of working after hours overnight. And so that's always a lot of fun because we can track them while they're happening and kind of give you a heads up about some of the cool events that take place, some of the storylines that you'll be hearing a lot more about when the rest of the world catches up with us. And so that I enjoy that. It's a little bit like the Open Championship that just wrapped up, right? We had the chance to watch, I would say, the first half of each round live here in studio. So that's pretty sweet. And that'll take place as well with the Olympics. Now, some of the stuff's on Peacock. I don't know if we have access to Peacock here in studio. I'm not sure. I know we can do the projection of an internet broadcast or a streaming broadcast onto one of the TVs, but I don't have Peacock. And I'm not sure I trust this company. If I use my own personal login, do you really think that other people wouldn't try to pilfer it?
I think we do have one. Because I remember, wasn't there a Peacock NFL game this year?
Yes.
There was one day where we had it on.
It was on a weekend, too, wasn't it?
Yes. So somebody had an account. It was logged in for the TVs.
Interesting. All right. I can figure out if we have one. I can ask our illustrious manager who's in charge of these things. And if someone does, then I'm assuming we will have access to it. Well, we should.
You should.
Right, we should.
Isn't it also going to be on TV too?
Well, some of the events, but I remember from the last Olympics that there were some that you could only watch online. If you want to watch them live, they would then get flipped and put on TV later in the day to be more accessible for American fans. But some of them will air overnight and will only be on Peacock. It's how they're driving people to their streaming services. I mean, that's what's happening. If you haven't seen the latest from the NBA and the battle over media rights, it's pretty incredible. Warner Brothers, because they are going to match the offer by Amazon Prime, think about that, $1.8 billion per year. $1.8 billion per year. And the NBA ratings are god-awful. this year and last year. They're terrible. I do not in any way understand why you would pay that kind of money when the ratings are bad. Now, online, they may be better, but what we found out, and even Adam Silver has indicated this, young people, in fact, you might be able to find the cut that we had from, gosh, was it just during the NBA Finals? Remember he did, he spoke actually after the NBA Board of Governors meetings. It was either last week or the week before. I think it was the week before because you and I were working together, remember? And he was talking about how fans don't watch traditional TV anymore. We know they're watching YouTube, they're watching streaming services, but because so many people are cutting the cord slash turning to streaming services for all of their media and TV choices, well, fewer and fewer people are watching traditional TV when it comes to NBA games. So why in the heck would you pay that kind of money?
Social media. So if they have the rights to the, so the logo, I feel like if it's posted on a social media post on like, what, let's just say Bleacher Report or House of Highlights.
Yep.
And it's spread and you could CC at this network. That brings in more revenue, I think, long term than just like watching a game.
Gotcha. So they're not as concerned about ratings. Also, they make their money on playoff games. So a lot of what is happening is that these rights deals are more about the playoff games because that's where the ad revenue really gets jacked up. Okay, so Turner, TNT, is a subsidiary or is a property owned by Warner Brothers Discovery. And they will match the $1.8 billion a year offer from Amazon Prime. And so Turner will keep, how in the world did I get the complete opposite when I first started this? Turner will keep coverage of hoops on TNT going back to the late 80s. Because the 80s are back, baby. That's where I kind of meant to say. So the new deals are worth total $76 billion because they're 11-year media rights deals. $76 billion with Disney, NBC, and Amazon Prime. That's nuts. $76 billion. And in addition to those companies, you've got Warner Brothers deciding. So they had this 5-day window, I guess, once they got the paperwork and the official offers that they could match. It's a little bit like NFL teams or any type of a team where the restricted free agent where you can match the offer made by a competitor. And so all these deals, they don't start this season. They start next season, 25-26, collectively worth $76 billion. Wow. The Prime Video package would have had games on Thursday night after NFL games. Could you imagine? NFL games, and then people are expected to stay up and watch NBA games?
I like the idea they had last year where they had a concert after every Thursday night football game.
But think about when Thursday night football ends, even if you're talking about West Coast. So it's they start at 8-something East Coast, which means around 5 o'clock on the West Coast, maybe 5:15 on a Pacific time zone. But the time the games are done, it's 8:15. And so then you would be tipping off NBA games. But, of course, the majority of them would end up being West Coast games on streaming. It kind of creates this crazy disparity, unless you're going to tape delay them, in which case they've already, the results are already out there.
But that wouldn't be, that doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Even still, usually Thursday Night Football runs long. So it would end like 11:30-ish if it's Eastern. That's not going to work.
I know.
Especially if you have to have a flexible start time if you're planning to be after football.
True, true, good point. So TNT is probably going to keep those Thursday night games, and then you point out about Max, other nights will be streamed on Max. So it's a combination of both TV and streaming platforms now, and we know this is the way that most leagues are going. They cannot afford to keep up with the Joneses and leave streaming money on the table. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twix at Amy After Hours. That's our show account and then also on our Facebook page talking about the Olympics and all the various platforms where they will be airing on both streaming as well as terrestrial TV. And because of that, you're going to have so many options. Which events or sports are priorities to you? Which ones are must watch? For me, I love the gymnastics. I do. I love the gymnastics, and I also really love the track events. Not as much the field events, though I suppose those are impressive. All these athletes are impressive. I just don't really get into the field events. I ran track, so I love the running events. So track and gymnastics are my two favorites from I guess the second half of the Olympics. I love, love, love swimming. Swimming it's dominant for me in the first half of the Olympics. So those are my three favorites. Swimming, all of the events. I'll watch any event in the pool. So swimming, gymnastics, and then also really enjoy the track events, the sprints mostly. The marathons are okay, but it just requires such an investment. Also, it's a little embarrassing that these runners, Olympic elite runners, can finish a full marathon in the time it takes me to finish a half marathon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, yeah, let us know which events, which sports are must watch. Ryan, what about you?
Ooh, basketball, of course, because that's the most popular one. Big fan of synchronized swimming.
What?
And archery.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why are you a fan of synchronized swimming?
Have you watched synchronized swimming?
Yes, I've seen it. I don't know.
Do you know how tough it is to, like,
no.
do that?
No.
You have to be an elite swimmer, one, and then two, to memorize the choreography and to be in tune with your partners. It's tough.
Of all the things I thought you would say, synchronized swimming, I could have guessed 10 other events, maybe 20, and I never would have gotten synchronized swimming.
But it's always the one that's on, like, 3 a.m., too.
Yes.
So it's like...
Right. So you've seen plenty of it.
Yeah. That...
Okay. And then archery. You said.
Archery, yes.
Do you?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just.
It's also impressive. Thing. So my husband actually is a hunter. Growing up in Texas, most people are, but he prefers hunting with a bow as opposed to hunting with rifle. And that's his preferred way of getting a deer is with a bow, which I think is astounding.
It's a lot harder, it sounds
like. Oh, yeah, way harder. Way harder. Anyway, I'll have to ask him if he wants to watch archery as well. Again, I could have guessed 20 other sports, and those two would probably not. I would have gotten basketball, but I'm not sure I would have pegged Ryan for archery and synchronized swimming. All right, that's what I get for assuming. Paul is listening in Boston. Paul, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, I miss you so much. Since the fan went in my tub and almost killed me, I left you in my will. And before I tell you
Thank
why
you.
Simone Biles, you'll never see another generation. You said something incredibly simple and smart when you look at the trend of cable being dumped by the WWE going to Netflix and the three-year deal for Christmas basketball games. They agree with you, and they want to be ahead of the curve and get their numbers and their money now because it's going to explode and go worldwide. That seems to be an obvious indicator.
I do think that because you've got streaming services that have a lot more money to offer, leagues can't afford to leave that money on the table if they want to continue to increase their bottom line, but also younger fans, right? So the average age of baseball fans, for instance, is getting older and older. The average age of all four major pro team sports in the United States. Now, the NFL has the youngest average age, but they're trying to attract younger fans to bring those ages down. Not that there's anything wrong with being older fans, but as older fans continue to get older, right, they're going to suffer the same fate as most people in the world. The vast majority of humans at some point are going to pass away. So you've got to replenish your fan base by attracting younger viewers. And the way that you reach younger viewers is not by finding a new TV network or a new TV home. More and more, it's about what they can watch on their phones, what they can watch on devices, and you want them to form habits, right? Which means you got to find them where they are.
Right. And think the phone is with them 24/7, wherever they are. And nowadays in Boston, you can't afford a rent and car insurance or a big screen. And that's also an indicator, but a lot of time on the Metro, and that's all time watching. People forget. You don't sit down for Ma and Pa and the Brady Bunch dinner. It's pretty much everyone's on the road or on the run, and that phone is with them. And all that streaming, all that off time is now on time.
Yeah, I don't think that Boston is that unique, honestly. There's in all, most of the major cities around the country, rent slash mortgages are really hard to come by, and certainly they're skyrocketing through the roof. But as you point out, the household expenses are so much more expensive, and so people now have to make choices, based on what they can afford, what they can't. And I think that's one of the reasons why households are cutting cable. But also, it's sometimes if you're maybe only a consumer of one particular genre of TV or one particular sport, and you don't watch all the channels that are offered on cable, streaming actually is more up your alley.
Right. It's funny. We talked 6 weeks ago, and I joked about Peacock is less than 15 a month, and you said when you add them all up, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I still haven't watched Peacock since then. I'm so busy, and my free digital TV right in front of me, I get 78 channels for free. It's amazing how little time I have even to watch my one Peacock app.
Yeah, during the summertime, we don't spend a lot of time watching TV at my house either. We have a couple of shows that that we watch an episode at a time when we have dinner, maybe. But yeah, I think a lot of people in the summertime are just out and about, which is why most shows are on hiatus during the summer.
Yeah. Hey, last time you guys had loved your eating, and you had gained weight, and you had a bet to see who would lose the weight. Did you lose your freshman five after your wedding food bender for 6 months?
Freshman five. I think both of us are still working on it. The problem was we had a second wedding and then my brother's milestone birthday, and there were so many desserts. So yeah, we kind of had to hit the reset button again. Thank goodness we're done traveling until September. And after that, we've got no more traveling until the holidays. That's the issue. You get together with family and yeah, all the desserts, they're just everywhere.
Yes, they are. Can you believe what Simone Biles is doing? You think you'll ever see this again in another generation?
Maybe, but what she's doing is incredible and really deserves its entire streaming platform all to itself. It's pretty amazing, especially considering what happened in the last Olympics, right? And for her to come back from that is awesome.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of comeback, is this what we're going to see? Are we going to see the basketball team lose possibly again like they did to France, or are they going to pull it together and dust these teams up?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. There's obviously great competition. I do think it was good for them the last couple of games to face some adversity, so they know they can't just cruise into the Olympics. That's never a bad thing. Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
That'd be great. You're welcome. Thank you.
Good to talk to Paul in Boston. A wide-ranging conversation. Yes, we're asking you, with all of the options and with so many events, it's impossible to watch them all. I won't even be able to watch them all, and I do this for a living. Which events and sports are a must-watch for you in the upcoming Paris Olympics? And did you hear what happened to the captain of the Japanese gymnastics team? I mean, we think in the United States, sometimes we have freedoms that are restricted. Oh, no, not like other countries. It's tough, especially when you're a teenager. I'll explain. 855-212-4227. And also, coming up, we're going to talk a little more about Major League Baseball, the trade deadline. Oh gosh, quarterbacks. We might have to see if Ryan can try his hand at QB news. It may be time, Ryan, to rip the Band-Aid off and do some QB news with all the different audio we have coming from NFL training camps. Glad to have you with us. See you Monday. Heading toward a Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Which sports and events are must watch in Paris? We've got a spot up on each of our social media sites at Amy After Hours, or our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Are you with Ryan? He prefers synchronized swimming as well as archery and basketball, of course. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. The Defensive Player of the Week comes from Summer League Hoops. That's crazy. It's July. Shooting guard Josh Christopher of the Miami Heat, because in last night's Summer League Championship versus the Memphis Grizzlies, Christopher had three steals and a couple of block shots, along with leading the team on the offensive end, 24 points, for his performance as the Heat edged the Grizzlies in OT. Christopher named Summer League Finals MVP. So congratulations to him. I hope this bodes well for the Heat, who too often are flirting with the 8, 9, or 10 position in the Eastern Conference, though it's not that far removed from them somehow fighting, scratching, clawing their way all the way to the NBA Finals. So I was reading about some of the sports to watch and Olympians to watch in these upcoming Paris Games. You know how it happens. You'll be Googling about a particular topic, a particular event, and then all of a sudden you get bombarded on your browser, your open browser window, by other stories that have to do with those same topics. So this one was presented to me for my consideration. Of course, it is one that I had to pass along to you. The captain of Japan's women's gymnastics team. She's 19-year-old Shoko Miyata. I like that name. Shoko Miyata. She has essentially been pressured to withdraw. So here we are on the eve of the games. She's been pressured to withdraw, give up her captaincy, and not participate in the games because she broke the team's code of conduct. She drank alcohol and she smoked a cigarette. Ugh, I feel badly for her. And I understand a code of conduct is one that you should be able to abide by when you're facing one of the biggest opportunities of your entire life. First of all, world-class athletes should not be smoking cigarettes and they should not be drinking alcohol, especially on the eve of a competition. Neither of those two things needs to be happening. They're not healthy for you, especially the cigarettes, right? But the fact that she's 19 years old, and according to people around her, it was the pressure of the games. She was unwinding, trying to just take the load off mentally, I guess, a little bit. There are other ways to do it, but I guess this was how she decided to try to breathe and chill, if you will. And so she had a cigarette, and it's being called one incident of smoking in a private place at a certain location in Tokyo. What are the chances that there was cell phone video of that fact? And then a separate incident of drinking, but this one happened in the athlete village of the National Training Center. So really bad choice there. I'm assuming she wasn't alone in her drinking. But yeah, she, and this is a quote that came from the director of the Japanese Gymnastics Association. I'm assuming not in English, but it's been translated for us. She engaged in smoking and drinking due to numerous pressures from the competitive targets that had been set, meaning the expectations. At 19 years old, she's the captain of this team. They haven't won a team medal in gymnastics since 1964. I wasn't around, didn't know that. Ryan wasn't even a thought then, didn't know that. So it's been decades, all this pressure heaped on her. She's the 19-year-old captain, and she engaged two bad decisions, I guess, that we know of. And now here she is, days before she was to have her huge opportunity, she has been essentially forced to withdraw and to quit right before the Olympics. Doesn't that suck?
It sucks. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like if you know your country has like certain standards.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah. She's not 12. She's 19. So she should have known better. I feel badly that in those two kind of moments of weakness, she squanders this incredible opportunity. Remember Sha'Carri Richardson before the last Summer Olympics? I felt the same way about her. And I know people put up a huge stink. It's just weed. Who cares? But it wasn't really about the substance. It was about the rules. She broke the rules. Everybody knows the rules. And you can't very well bend the rules for one person and not for the other Olympians. And also, I just think in a, I don't know, in a moment where you can think rationally, you compare what opportunities I have that millions of people would give so much to be in this position, right? How many people would love to represent their country in the Olympics? I mean, since I was a little kid, that had to be one of my incredible dreams. And so she has this opportunity. And she apologized in a moment of weakness, decided she was going to smoke some weed and squandered her chances and had to wait another 4 years. So I felt sorry for her. But at the same time, the rules are not a secret. Everybody knows the rules. Same thing with her. She's 19 years old, a lot of pressure on her shoulders. I can understand that, some young people, this is how they chill. And here she is on the eve of her games and has to walk away. I mean, that's kind of heartbreaking. Yes, it's her fault, but it's a really tough lesson to learn. It's a really tough way to recognize that to whom much is given, much is required, right? That you have to be above reproach, and that if you're not going to follow the rules, you waste. Well, you don't always. I guess there's a chance she wasn't going to get caught. But if you are going to participate at the highest level of your sport and you're going to be the captain of this team and you're going to have this opportunity, it's a really tough way to learn, that you have a lot more to lose when you're in that kind of position. We're not talking about some high school student in Japan that, maybe got suspended for a day. We're talking about these only come around every 4 years, and you're 19, which means chances are you may not participate in the next round of the Olympics.
You've been working day and night for 4 years since you're 15 years old, and then the night before, it's just bad timing and lack of judgment, kind of.
She won bronze on the balance beam in the 22 World Championships. And so she had a lot of promise and a lot of excitement and certainly could have competed for a medal or two. But the rules say gymnasts are prohibited from either smoking or drinking during team activities regardless of age. But also she is underage because I guess in Japan, the legal smoking and drinking age is 20. Gosh, my heart breaks for her. Shoko Miyata. But at the same time, like I said, it's a tough lesson to learn. It's one she'll never forget. But it's not like she didn't know what the rules were. So that's ouch. Ouch. Sometimes when we're young, we make really stupid decisions. I've made a few. They never cost me the Olympics, but they cost me other things. All right. So Japanese gymnasts, they're now without a captain. I guess they'll have to promote another one. What events and sports are must watch for you when we get to the Paris Olympics, which are now on the horizon? We've had a post up on our Facebook page. It's starting to get a bunch of traffic. It only takes so much time. Scott says swimming always. Ben, track, swimming, gymnastics, basketball. I like it. I'm liking them as I go along. It's great validation. Jim says basketball as well. Chuck says, I have watched every Olympic game, summer and winter, since 1976. Wow. He says, I've been witness to many historic events as well as the legendary athletic performances. I look forward to track and field, boxing, gymnastics, the marathon, and taekwondo. Impressive.
I forget boxing exists.
Yeah, sometimes I forget. It's actually much more enjoyable at the Olympic level than it is professionally.
Professionally, it seems a little rigged sometimes.
Not just rigged, but when was the last time there was a fight that was worth watching? That was more than a blip on the radar?
Was it McGregor-Mayweather? And that wasn't even like a real fight.
I was going to say, that's not even boxing.
That was just...
Yeah.
people trying to get money.
Right. William says, I love speed, 100 and 200 meters, and basketball because Canada has a good team this year. All right, let's see. Louise says, oh, swimming, as so many folks on the team are from UVA, which is Virginia, and a local kid is swimming. She said, have to add track because I have family members who also love track. Let's see. So that's awesome. Swimming and track and field, says Bonnie on Facebook. Carlos wants to know who's going to watch breakdancing. Is that this Olympics making its debut? Ryan's face. Sandy says gymnastics and anything Simone Biles is doing. I enjoy the diving events too. James says track and field and swimming. Christopher says for me only one, the men's marathon. So I guess not the women's marathon. And then the basketball teams, according to Paul, but also enjoys watching the diving. Did you Google breakdancing?
I have it dialed into my schedule now. August 9th, 10 a.m. Women's breakdancing.
Women's breakdancing.
And men. There's two. So the men are on August 10th and women are on August 9th.
Okay. Well, just for the sheer novelty of it all, I guess I will watch too. Breakdancing. Too bad it, maybe that's where it airs on TV in the United States. We might be able to get it ahead of time.
But like, how do they grade breakdancing? Like how long
that
do
you don't
stand
break your neck?
Head?
Yeah. I have no idea. I'm looking forward to the golf as well, just because I enjoy seeing these guys in a different setting where it's about red, white, and blue and not about the money necessarily. I normally like the basketball, but I don't watch all the preliminary rounds or the build up to the gold medal rounds. So I will enjoy those. I like softball and baseball. I feel like they've tinkered with both those events and they're in and out. What are the other new events? Can we Google that? New events in the Olympics. And again, you can find us online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. All right, so five new sports for the Olympics. Breaking. I'm assuming that's break dancing. Breaking. Okay. Skateboarding. Sport climbing.
Ooh, I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
Is that like...
So it's like, it's rock climbing?
But on
like
a wall?
There's certain courses.
Oh.
So...
Courses?
So like, well, it's not like...
It's not like rock climbing a wall.
It's not a straight wall.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's like curved walls and stuff
wow.
like that. And they have to get to the top of the thing and ring a bell before everybody else.
I could be interested in that. Surfing. And then... We already know this. It's been on the international stage for a couple of years, but 3x3 basketball makes its debut in these Olympics in Paris.
That's confusing to me sometimes, though, when I watch it.
It is. It is a little confusing, and it's fast, too. You can't coach during the game. It's timed. You just go, 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 go. You have to have extreme. I learned this from our conversation with Jennifer Rosati going back last month. You have to have extreme respiratory health to be able to do it. All right. Running a little bit late here. Not that you care. We are asking you which sports events are must watch in the Olympics. If you're Japanese, I suppose you're a little bit disappointed about the gymnastics now, but you can find us on either of our sites or on the phones. Coming up next, ACC Media Day is underway, and the commissioner, Jim Phillips, is speaking about the lawsuits that the conference is currently facing. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We'll get to the ACC commissioner after the top of the hour simply because we have a shorter segment here. But I'd love to know from you which events float your boat at the Paris Olympics. You consider them to be must watch. as we get set for another edition of the Summer Games. Greg says everything but equestrian and breakdancing. I actually love the events that feature horses. So equestrian in this case. To me, as much as I get nervous watching them go through, because I would hate it if something would happen to any of these horses, I get nervous until they're done. I do think that they are incredible athletes and really enjoy watching them soar over the various obstacles, the fences, the bushes, that type of stuff. It's awesome. So the equestrian, I can understand. I think I can understand why people want to watch it. The breakdancing, to me, though, I think it just the sheer fascination. I have no idea what it entails or how they judge or what type of music. I mean, if you're going to use MJ music, I suppose that would be highly entertaining to a lot of people. I'm actually kind of intrigued by the idea of breaking in the Olympics. So we're taking your reaction at Amy After Hours or on my account at A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, Russ is listening in Georgia. Russ, is this really a joke? Ryan says you have a joke for us.
No, it's not a joke at all.
It's serious. Okay, we're going to get serious here.
Yeah, breakdancing, the only people that should judge this, and you're a little, I'm not going to say older, but you
older
might
than
get
what?
This.
Older than what?
Me. You might get this. The only people that should judge this are Turbo, Ozone, and Special K. You see, you don't get it.
I don't. Sorry. Are these like famous breakdancers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They were in the movie Breakin'.
Oh, gotcha. Not one that I ever saw.
I know. Special K. It was
Special K. I'm sorry. I'm not cool at all. So let me hold on. Let me just look him up. Ryan did quickly on his phone because Ryan is much quicker. So I guess that was the breakdancing joke that he wanted to offer. But
well, I was confused.
How old is this movie?
1984.
Oh yeah.
No.
I mean, I was on the planet for sure, but that's not something that I ever watched.
It's also that's is a joke. Like movie characters as the judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, I get it. I get it now.
I think he was serious, though.
No, I think he was. He might have been. I asked him if it was a joke. Maybe he was just upset that I told people it was a joke before he had a chance to let people know his joke. I ruined his punchline, essentially. All right, then. Okay. Let's get serious again, shall we? With the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris firing up this week, what sports are a must watch? By the way, we'll talk basketball after the top of the hour. Did you hear that LeBron James is tabbed as the male flag bearer for the U.S. Olympic team? That's kind of neat, right? A neat honor for him, considering that he's 39 years old. I'm not going to say he won't be around for the next Olympics because there's no way to know that. But he's only the third basketball player ever chosen by Team USA to lead the contingent into the opening ceremonies there in the Summer Games. And I think that's an honor, again, nod to his age. It's a nod to the fact that he's defying, you know, what generally is the case with the Olympics. It's a lot of younger people, in many cases amateurs, and here he is. He has the chance to lead the United States to gold, and gosh, considering how he's playing, that's really impressive. They have not yet announced a female flag bearer, but LeBron and whoever she is will be the second duo to co-lead the U.S. They started this more recently. Let's see. It was Sue Bird and Eddie Alvarez. He was a speed skater. Or no. Let's see. He was a speed skater and a baseball player. Remember, really cool story with Eddie. So, and Sue Bird at her age, she was also an incredible story. They were the first pair who did it back in 2021 in Tokyo. And LeBron was reacting actually to getting a chance to carry the flag, which is neat. So we'll talk basketball after the top. But a lot of you weighing in on Twix. Let's see. Dino says swimming, 3x3 basketball, track and field. Those are the must-watch events for him. Michael says water polo, unfathomably hard. All the track and field will be really exciting, and the basketball, obviously. We're going to see an Olympic Games in which there's something for everyone. There are more events in the summer games. You've got team sports. You've got the individual sports. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the games airing during our time slot, too.